Smoking Gun, heard round the world.
Avatar hits 1 billion. Has anybody out there gone to see the movie with the blue creatures that took James Cameron 15 years to make? Baby, it's cold out there. Some of the coldest temperatures on record set to hit the East and the Midwest. Even parts of the Southwest, pretty cold. Don't know if we're going to get any good Florida oranges anymore with this deep freeze they're talking about even down there. It's wide open in the NFL playoffs, but did anybody nail the score? Some of the things, of course, we're going to be talking about in this first hour of America Tonight. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the first show in 2010, this version of America Tonight. Yeah. A new year. If you had a bad 2009, who cares? Forget about it. It's in the past, baby. And how do we open the new year in our airports? I hate to say this because, boy, I bet there's a bunch of people who have been through the Newark airport. They had a massive problem at that airport, a huge security breach, so they had to go into that lockdown mode. Boy, it's a place where you don't want that to happen. It really is a small airport. So you just had hundreds of people jammed coming in and out of there. And this is what the deal was. Because, you know, in New York, you basically have three airports. You have Newark, you've got LaGuardia, and you have John F. Kennedy, JFK. So Newark, a lot of people go there because it's easy. You're just outside of the city. It's easy to get in and out, and a lot of times you get those cheaper flights. It seems to me like it's always jammed. So they were looking for a guy who walked through a screening checkpoint. Check this out. He went through an exit, the checkpoint exit, into that secure side of a terminal on Sunday night. So, hey, with everything that's happened, you had to immediately ground the flights. Nobody's leaving. The passengers had to be re-screened. Oh, just a nightmare. And more specifics, it happened at about 5:30. And all you could see was the guy going down this exit lane. So pretty much this is where Continental flies in and out of. They look at the surveillance tapes, they're trying to figure out who the guy is, and then really there wasn't any choice. They're scanning all over the place trying to figure out if they can find him, all this other stuff. So they have to take the passengers, they have to evacuate them from the terminal, they have to move them to the open side, they have to go through the screening again, they have to make sure every passenger boarding a plane tonight out of the terminal was fully screened. So it was bad. It was awful. I mean, honestly, if you've ever been to that airport, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And as of even an hour ago, the flights were done, couldn't get on flights, etc. And what a mess. And especially you think it's the holidays, so people were trapped. But here's what you have to ask yourself. As a result of what happened in Detroit, now it's going to be security times 10. And this is exactly the example of it. The FAA warned that due to the security breach and, of course, the weather conditions, the flights are delayed about 2 to 3 hours. Now, remember, they can't have any flights on the tarmac for 3 hours because if they do that, according to the new laws, it would cost them $27,000 plus a person on that flight if that were to happen. So they didn't have that situation, but they pulled them all back. And now the interesting thing is, as this happened, and I still haven't found the guy as far as I know, starting on Monday, all passengers on U.S. international flights, on U.S. bound international flights, have to be subject to random screening. Apparently they weren't doing this. So you've got, as far as states that sponsor terrorism, that's how it's listed by the State Department, you have Cuba, Iran, Sudan, Syria, of course. And then the other countries whose passengers will get that enhanced screening would be the usual countries you would think. Afghanistan, Algeria, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Nigeria, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Somalia. And this all as a result of Abdullah Muttalib, the 23-year-old Nigerian who tried, let's face it, to set off an explosive device on that Northwest flight on Christmas Day. And, you know, he flat out is cooperating. I mean, he's blabbing all over the place. And maybe it's bragging, I don't know what, but they didn't have to do any waterboarding in this case. He flat out has said he received training and instructions from Al-Qaeda folks in Yemen. So we know that all eyes of the world are certainly on that part of the country. But, I mean, you know, here becomes the question. It's just like taking off the shoes and the liquid and everything else. I mean, are the airport pat-downs, are they effective? What is going to be effective, ultimately, to possibly nab somebody before they carry out the explosion of a plane, let's say, like he was intending to do? Some interesting comments on one of the Sunday shows, in fact, and we're going to let you hear one of the some of the thoughts of somebody who used to be in government, still is in government, but held an interesting position before, as to what should be happening at airports. Pretty controversial. Going down that path of profiling times 10. And then the Deputy National Security Advisor, John Brennan, who also did that Sunday swirl thing, that's what I call it when you go on with the talking heads on the tube, where he talked about the closure of the embassy in Yemen in the threats of the whole terror thing and you know, basically his thoughts on, as a whole, as to what's happened as a result and unfairly the way the president has been nailed for this, for being too soft on terror. And he tells you why he thinks that's ridiculous, that someone like Dick Cheney, the former VP, would be saying that the current president is soft on terrorism. So we'll jump into that, too, as well. I mentioned some of the lighter fare. Sports was huge, obviously. You have big bowl games coming up. You had a few that unfolded. You have a playoff picture that's now complete, but I think it's pretty wide open. You had a couple of real big blowouts today. Green Bay just completely blowing Arizona off the map. The Cowboys blowing the Eagles out of the water, which that was our nail the score game. And did anyone nail the score? We'll tell you in the next couple of hours here on ATM. And then who didn't get into the playoffs and who made it into the playoffs? Because many of you, of course, are pro football fans, I know. And college football was fun to watch all the last games of some of the guys who will now go into the draft and, you know, basically just kick back and relax. I hope many of you had the chance to do that and usher out 2009 and get ready for 2010, because I think it's going to be a very interesting year, to say the least. Coming up next on the show, you're going to love this. For all you people who are confused about Facebook, don't understand it, don't understand the popularity of Facebook, or are just intrigued by the whole social networking thing, because everything is headed in this direction. People at work now, with all the Twittering and checking the emails and everything else, it becomes this deal with employers as to whether or not they should ban certain things, certain sites. And one of them is Facebook. A lot of people are finding themselves on the chopping block because they cannot help but go on Facebook 10 times a day. And that's a no-no for a lot of businesses. And we're not just talking about the lower end employees. We're talking about all the way up the ladder. So coming up next, we're going to talk to one of my favorite attorneys, Clint David. He's going to tell us what has now happened with Facebook as far as the law is concerned in the workplace. Stay with us here on ATN.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. 205-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission's done. One more time. One more time.
Well, what a way to usher in 2010 for Clint David. He was at that Cowboys game where they shellacked the Philadelphia Eagles. I can only imagine the view from the field, because I think he's good friends with Jerry Jones and sits in one of those exclusive boxes. Hey, Clint, how are you?
Good evening, Kate. How are you tonight?
Were you partying with Jerry Jones?
I was not partying with Jerry. I wasn't sitting up with Emmett and Jerry up in the box. I was in the seats with the real fans enjoying my lifelong team shut out the Eagles. It was a great game.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Well, there, a lot of people, as you can imagine, were all over Facebook, as they are at many sporting events, and when they're there, they can do it, and giving updates and the woohoos and what happens next and all that sort of stuff. So there's fun ways you can certainly use Facebook, but for a lot of people, you know this, Clint, it's like an addiction. So in the workplace, you have people who are distracted, sometimes even in meetings because they're on Facebook. As a lawyer who's dealt with things in the workplace, would you say that this is kind of risky for job security?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything about it. I mean, something that just really amazes me about Facebook and these other social networking sites that people use is they feel there's some sort of magic zone of privacy on these things. That the things you post on Facebook is like writing in some sort of private diary that nobody's ever going to see. And just from a pure job security, from a pure self-protection point of view, the things that people put on their social networking sites can be sometimes just unbelievably stupid, things that can in really harm job security. Employers look at these things. HR directors look at these things. They post pictures from holiday parties that people have been terminated from. It's really amazing, and absolutely, and it's addictive to boot.
Yeah, and so legally you can do that, right? Like, you know, if someone, like, let's say they had a bong and they were smoking pot off in the background, they didn't realize it, but they were tagged in a photo, and then I'm the HR director and I see this on, and I'm running a prestigious company and I see this with one of my employees, I would have a leg to stand on, right?
And there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, in most states, I mean, they're at-will states, and you can terminate employees really for any or no reason other than for discriminatory ones. But there's no reason to hand your employer a club to beat you over the head with. And showing yourself in compromising positions, situations that show poor judgment, where your employer might otherwise be looking for a reason to cease the employment relationship anyway, it's just crazy. I mean, you need to go through your website. You need to go through these social networking sites and cleanse them of things that you would not want your employer to see. It's just common sense.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, the statistics that you're starting to hear about are crazy, like nearly three-quarters of employees think that social networking sites create some risk for their employer. And so even so, they still post all this content on the sites. And like you said, in this, it's like they think it's their own personal diary, and they don't understand what it could mean for them, especially where people are losing jobs right and left. They have no idea what they're doing. How do you drum that into people's heads? I guess hearing shows like this one or hearing other things or reading about it. But I think people are just thick, Clint, and they don't get it.
I really don't think they do either. And the only thing you can do, and I think you're doing your listeners a huge service, is you just got to think about the things that you post on these social networking sites or pictures you allow to be taken of yourself that will be posted on others' social networking sites. You just have to be very, very cautious. And it's not just your employers that are looking at it. People need to think about future employers that may be looking at this, admissions counselors of undergraduate and graduate schools. I mean, people now routinely, as a part of their due diligence, go through social networking sites to look into the background of the people they're thinking of hiring or admitting or being partners with. You just got to be very cautious, because you take these things lightly, but I promise you, those other people that are looking to either do business with you or continue to employ you do not take it lightly.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because in a super uber creative field, if you were really clever and careful about what you posted, and I'm saying like in the arts, it could be a helpful tool to you. But on the other hand, in a lot of other professions, which is kind of the road we're going down, it's a no-no. So it just depends. Do you think that's right? It just depends on your point of view and what you do for a living?
Yes, I think so. I mean, obviously in some areas, look, if you use the network, if you use your Facebook in a creative way, it's a great way to expand your network. It's a great way to market. It's a great way to stay in touch. But like anything, you can have too much of a good thing. You've just got to, once again, just use your common sense and realize anything you post on there today will be around the planet tomorrow. And I just don't think people look at it that way. And I can't understand the psychology of why they don't. But they don't. They feel that it's their little private area, and I know others might be able to look at it, but they really shouldn't. And they take it, they think it's much more informal. And the only thing you can do is just tell people over and over again, there's some wonderful aspects of this, but you've got to proceed with all due caution, because I promise you, other people are looking at it and judging you by it.
So, Clint, if I ran a company and I was worried about, you know, I had some younger people that worked for me, some people in the middle, and then some veteran-type people, it might be smart then to just ban Facebook at work, just put out a policy, right?
You can. And, you know, whether or not they'll listen to it is a different matter. I mean, you may have heard that story. I'm sure it was a company in Fort Worth where the commissioner of a fantasy football league was terminated for spending some time on the fantasy football league at work. I mean, you know, employers can ban this just because they don't want their employer-furnished computers and time being used for socializing with friends. And they can, absolutely ban this, and a lot of policies are being modified currently to do that because they just don't want people burning up a bunch of company time using these social networking sites. So I think that you'll find more and more they're going to tighten down on these things. They know how much time is being used and in some instances wasted by employees. So they may start tightening down not so much for what you put on your Facebook site, but just by using it and how much time is wasted at work. Because people do. It's the first thing they do when they get to the office. It's the last thing they do when they leave or right before they go to lunch. And there is a lot of time that is being inefficiently used, shall we say, on these Facebook sites.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you've done the courtroom drill. I wouldn't be surprised, and probably it's already happening in other areas, divorces, et cetera, or in other espionage-type deals, I think, in the workplace. It wouldn't be uncommon that you could use that as evidence, right, Facebook?
A great question, and that was an uncommon, but now people are you know, using it extensively. People are using postings on whether it's Twitter or Facebook for libel charges, for slander. Mm. They're taking photographs from Facebook and using them against spouses in divorce proceedings.
Mm.
It has legal import, and it's like going into somebody's scrapbook or going into somebody's attic and finding old pictures and current pictures and statements that they've written and use them against them. And it does carry the import. It's admissible in a court of law, and it's being used more and more. Private investigators of law firms are using it. For example, insurance companies are hiring private investigators, finding people that are saying, you know, they're off work and collecting disability, and they're finding them out there playing golf and tennis and because they posted these pictures on their Facebook account. And they'll use that to cease insurance benefits. It is being used more and more in due diligence in courts of law, both inside and out, against the owner of these Facebook and social networking sites.
Mm. Clint, always fun to have you on the show. Thanks for the cautionary tale. And if you want to learn more about Clint, tell us your website.
It's cdavid@dgmlegal.com, www.dgmlegal.com.
All right, Clint, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, it's always great being on. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, you're welcome. And you heard what he said. It's interesting how they can just boom, flip it up. Can you imagine? I mean, this will be just such a part of evidence, I think, and it already is, as he said. But I think in the future you'll see it even more. The scary thing is with the way cell phones are and the way people can take photographs and video and whatnot now, I mean, almost anywhere you go, it's like that Big Brother thing. We're always hammering the deal about the cameras being everywhere, which I hate, the stoplight cameras. I mean, not only do you have that to contend with, but you also have the people around you to contend with, because you just don't know when somebody might get you in a situation that looks worse than it is, if that makes any sense. But it's probably a good idea not to flip open those Facebooks until you are off the clock. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about more about that security breach, the lockdown at the Newark airport, also what's happening around the globe in just a few minutes here on ATN.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere, 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Are you waking up at night for bathroom trips? I'm Jonathan Greenhut, president of New Vitality. This year, we sent out thousands of free bottles of Beta Prostate, the natural supplement for men. But some of you still haven't called for your free bottle. As we go into the new year, make the resolution to support your prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. This free offer is for a limited time, and once it's gone, it's gone. Start the year right. Dial 1-800-257-7201. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Dial 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
It's funny how a man only thinks about the... You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no...
All right, we're going to jump to that security breach that slowed the travel through Newark Airport, one of the busiest airports, to a crawl. I'm going to jump to some more details on that in just a second. Man, they had footage all over the Internet, by the way, of what that mob scene looked like. It was just absolutely crazy. But before we do that, I know that weather is always the common denominator to all of us, right? Besides security, which is a big one for all of us, too, traveling. But right now, many of you are probably wrapped in parkas in your bed. I mean, seriously, unless you want a huge, huge heating bill at the end of the month. But I was looking at AccuWeather before I went on the air, and I was talking to somebody in Chicago, and I was talking to my mother in the Northeast, and it's incredible just how ridiculous the temperatures are. I mean, like, really, it's like igloo-like temperatures, like outside the igloo. So the snowstorm potential for the Rockies and the Plains is crazy. You have snow going into the Northwest. You have southerners that could face even snow and cold a little bit later into the week, but you have crazy temperatures. I mean, bone-chilling temperatures. And they say one of the worst places is, once again, at the mothership in Minnesota, some of the coldest temps that they have on record. So let's ask our maestro in the main room, in the big house, if you will, to give us the scoop on what's happening in Minneapolis. Matt, how cold is it?
Right now, it has warmed up to 5 below.
Oh, 5 below.
Yeah, but that's warm compared to what it was. I remember it was New Year's Eve. I was coming back home with a couple of buddies and some other people from a local establishment down by where I live. We usually walk it, you know, it's a couple blocks. That way no one has to drive and everyone can be safe. It was pretty cold because I looked over at the sign at this bank and it said negative 17 was the temperature. And it kept progressing to get colder. It was 20 below, I think, the last three nights. It was about low temperature. So it's been pretty cold here in the Northwoods.
You know, honestly, I've said this before, and I was joking when I said it, but I guess I really mean it. When you have those kind of temperatures, Matt, I mean, your skin can almost peel if you're out in it too long. I don't care if you're bar hopping or whatever you're doing. It's like you have to wear one of those face masks. You know what I mean? The kind that you pull over your head.
Yeah, I always go out with a hooded sweatshirt on so that I can just throw that over my head while I'm going out. But you got to be careful. You can get frostbitten pretty easily. And it's also extremely slippery. Your nostrils freeze up as soon as you go outside. It's kind of brutal, but nothing a little glass of beer won't fix.
That's right. Or what you really need is what they used to call the Mahat Toddy. My great-grandfather used to say that. Like a shot of Bailey's in coffee.
There you
something.
Go. Yeah.
That will
an Irish coffee.
Exactly. An Irish coffee. That will totally cure it all. But it is brutal. Be careful out there because now we have snow coming, too, as well. And this cold spell is pretty bad. And where Matt is, of course, in Minneapolis, well, some of the worst. But the Arctic cold is hitting a lot of strange places, too. Like I said, they're worried about the fruit in Florida because they're saying that you might see some incredible, incredible freezing temps there. New England got more snow. Matt was talking about what he saw in a lot of places in the Midwest. They even reported, you know, 37, negative 37. Wow. And then the thing that's the kicker, I don't know about all of you, but the thing that's the real kicker when you're cruising around is that wind that can cut through you like a knife. That's the brutal part. And no one's immune to this because, you know, I'm in the mini ship, the mini satellite studio, if you will, in Dallas. Christmas Eve we had snow. They were predicting snow for maybe this week. And we're supposed to have one of our coldest days ever. Certainly nothing like 37 below, but you know, even Atlanta, Georgia, for them, when you get temperatures in the 20s, that's incredible because they normally don't see it. But the usual suspects, the Midwest, New England, where they're getting that Arctic blast, in Buffalo, New York, the wind chill makes it feel like it's well below zero. And, you know, even if you're used to it, are you really, I always say that, are you really used to it? I mean, are you really used to this? For people listening to us, because I know there's people that live in this great state, in North Dakota, you live in a place like Grand Forks, and they post the temperature as you've got the worst temperature in the day, or the coldest, let's not call it the worst, call it the coldest, 51, yeah, minus, the big minus sign in front, minus 51. I'm thinking, that's not a great day to go out. You're not doing your jog that day. I don't care if there's no snow. Let's say there's no snow in sight. You got to take the dog for a walk. I mean, what are you taking him outside for 2 seconds? Go, go, go. And then you're bringing him back in. I mean, I can't even imagine, honestly, which is maybe why it's been so good for the movie Avatar. I mentioned this at the top. I haven't been to see it yet. In fact, I was supposed to go, but I had to cancel it because I had a washer blow up on me. That's another story. Not an exciting story to cover on America Tonight. But so let's say I couldn't go to see it. But Avatar raked in so far $1 billion. Now, we gave you that little Cracker Jack sneak preview of it where you could hear the movie trailer. And this is James Cameron's science fiction epic. It's you know, the fifth movie. I didn't realize this. And this is why we mention milestones so often on the show. It's the fifth movie ever to hit $1 billion. Yeah. 68.3 domestically. And this is a long movie. So you go to this movie, you might be jittering around in your seat. If you're in North Dakota and you're freezing and you can only have to walk a short distance from the car, okay, so you're warm, you're inside, that works. But $1 billion, it's a 3-hour movie. And that's incredible. I don't know that I would have predicted that. I thought it would do well. But that's incredible numbers. So Christmas, New Year's, all that stuff had to be good for it. And this is obviously the first film that Cameron's done since the Titanic in 97, which was it's the biggest modern-day blockbuster, $1.8 billion worldwide. So he's the only filmmaker ever to direct two movies that have topped $1 billion. You can only imagine how many movies, how many scripts, and all that other stuff that would easily come his way once you hit that level. Because you're definitely making the studios money. But to produce it, I think it cost him something like $500,000, a crazy amount of money to produce it. So it almost had to go to that $1 billion mark. All right, more importantly, back to really the stories on the hours, that crazy stuff that happened at Newark. And we're going to see more of this. Here's the thing. I'm all about safety. I don't get that. If there's something mechanically wrong with the plane, that I'm not going to be one of those passengers that gets hysterical screaming and flailing my arms, because I don't want to get on a plane that's not, frankly, that has something wrong with it. But now we're going to have to worry about what level of security is the correct level. Where's really the threat level, and what are we doing about it? So you have this guy who, I don't know, was he just some nut that thought it was funny to do it? Was it something serious that you had to ground the flights? I mean, you have to do that if you see that on the screen, though, after what happened, as I said. We wouldn't have necessarily before. I don't know that they would have done that. But because he was going down that exit lane, they had to stop everything in its tracks. So and that's a busy time when people leave and go back to wherever, especially from New York. So 5:30, prime time for the airport, Continental Terminal, basically just null and void, everybody having to be re-screened, go out into the cold air, empty everything out, come back in again. And it was slow going. But here's the thing. I wonder if the people were angry that happened, or frustrated, because, you know, still at 10 o'clock at night, you had flights that weren't going out. So people there 5 hours, not really knowing what's happening. Do you think people were upset or okay with it in light of what happened? I think the main thing is the lack of organization. It's that same thing, that they weren't very organized. There wasn't a flow to the whole deal. So that's what upsets people. When it's all helter-skelter, there's not a real succinct strategy or policy, that's what it seemed like, in place. And there's, you know, you don't have any announcements over the airport system, which they should do that. They can't do that. If you're just instructing people here and there as they're going through back and forth, I mean, that's confusing. It just seems to me that there should be some, and this is the problem. This is part of the problem going back to Detroit and going back to, in general, air travel domestically, across the country. There has to be, I think, in these airports, a much better organization. There's got to be a better way to pull that together. If something happens, there has to be a way to get disseminate the information, right? You know, it's funny, after 9/11, as I was someone who was flying every week, it was bare bones, too, because there weren't a lot of people flying. People were afraid to fly. But, boy, in a lot of the airports I flew into, everybody was so nice and so helpful, and there was information desks, and there were people walking around, because the airlines, I'm thinking, especially it seems I flew American the most, but even Delta, I flew them a couple times in United, they were bending over backwards to make sure you're okay, you understand, here's the line, here's where you go, and it was pretty organized, I have to say. So what happened between 9/11 and now that somehow we've lost all the sense of organization when there's a breakdown at the airport or there's a security breach, which we may see a little bit too often across the United States? All right, odds and ends and some world views coming up next.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Thing that's starting on Monday, the passengers, I mentioned this already, that are on U.S.-bound international flights will get that random screening deal. And, of course, there's 14 countries in all where they've got enhanced screening, that they're going to face the enhanced screening. And I think that's fair, obviously, in light of especially of what happened with Abdullah Muttalib. Hey, this is what the Israelis do, but they do it even to a much bigger extreme because they do profiling. It's, I mean, or whatever word you want to call it, pull out certain people who fit the description. That's what they do. And haven't had any problems in El Al as a result of it. How far is that line? How far will we go in the United States? And this is the other thing. You know, they do post signs, and occasionally I know I've heard this over the speakers in airports. If you leave a bag or if something looks suspicious, do not leave your bag or some such thing like that. Or if you see something suspicious. So I wonder if we're going to see more people trying to spot airport threats. And, you know, would you be the person who's going to look around and be able to figure out what the threats are? Who are the people that look suspicious, you know? And you may have that. You may have more people reporting things, which if you have bags that are laying around or something that doesn't look right, I don't necessarily see anything wrong with that. There were people that saw things on 9/11 that were very suspicious that said nothing and then said afterwards, well, yeah, I did notice this, and I did see this. One thing I will say that I've already noticed about airports, whether it's Newark, LaGuardia, JFK does the same thing, Philadelphia, Chicago does this, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I mean, it may be almost every airport. When you go through the baggage claim, you know, your bags come off, the bags are down there, they don't check bags. So you're there at the carousel and you're grabbing your bag, right? And then you're out of there, which sometimes leads to mix-ups, which somebody brings the bag back, whatever. But I'm not saying about mix-ups. I'm saying about somebody trying to plant something. Ultimately, they could have the bag and have it, I guess by then the idea would be that the bag would blow up midair, but you could, I think, easily get a bag in that way. Even going back into the terminal, and most of the places I've flown into, whether it's Orlando, there's another example because recently I was there, you could go down to the baggage claim, you could go in there, and you could plop a bag on the carousel and nobody would know because they're just grabbing bags and I don't think anybody would really look twice. And I think that is an easy security breach. And I don't understand why they don't have tags on the bags. Maybe it's because already how much time it's taking in the airport. I'm not sure. If you have any thoughts on this, you can throw in your two at 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, or shoot me an email at americatonight.net. I have a feeling we'll be talking about airline security a lot this year. Let's hope we don't have anything happen airport-wise or to any people in our country that are flying outside of the borders. One can only hope that, but it's scary, I think. What's starting to look like things that are threats could become very, very, very real. All right, outside the borders, what's happening around the world? Here's kind of a light story, but it's interesting. You know, it's always about being the biggest, the baddest, the first, the tallest, all that. And you think of the Empire State Building at one point being the tallest, Sears Tower, the tower in Toronto being the tallest. Now, Dubai Tower is the world's tallest building. It's going to open. It's going to have the highest observation deck. So once again, the record falls to another building. And what it is, it's 2,625 feet, and it's nearest. Actually, it's near its rival now. At this time, is in Taipei, in Taiwan. Taipei 101. That would be the tallest. And now Dubai is going to be able to say that. So remember, if you wanted something to compare it to, with all the floors, 160 floors. You know, it's two times taller than the Empire State Building. Yeah. So they say that the opening is expected to be watched by over 2 billion people around the world. Oof. And they're closely guarding what they're doing. But even the observation deck, 100, on floor 124 set a record. There was a television mast, who knew this, in North Dakota that was the tallest. But now this is well beyond that. So the record all around looks like it's going to Dubai. Matt, have you ever been in some of those tall buildings? Have you ever been in the Sears Tower, or now they call it the Chicago Willis Tower? Or the Toronto Tower? Because that, of course, I've been in both of those.
I've been in the Sears Tower, the John Hancock Building. I think those two are the biggest that I've been in.
Yeah, you know, it is a weird feeling when you go in the Sears Tower. And now they have that deck where you can walk out, and it feels like you're walking out into the air.
I would not be out on there.
I couldn't do it either.
I don't think I could do it. Because I remember being, I don't even remember how old I was the first time I was in the Sears Tower. I was probably 12 or 13. I remember putting my face up against the glass, and you pretty much look straight down because the tower, you know, it sways a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's malleable, and you can look straight down, and it's almost like being in an airplane.
Yeah.
Of how high up you are and how everything. And I get freaked out by heights, so I don't know. That's probably not my bag.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I know that feeling. And that swaying sensation, sadly, I guess luckily for me, I had the chance as a kid and even as an adult to go in the World Trade Centers, and those buildings felt that. You felt the sway when you were in one of those two buildings. Or even when you're outside, it looked like it swayed. It was weird. because of the height. You know how tall it was.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can watch video clips of people where they take the camera and they look straight down while they're jumping out or something like that, and I get a little edgy about just watching video clips, let alone actually being the person who's doing that.
Yeah, exactly. It's nutty. I mean, honestly, really. I agree with you. All right, a couple of other world things. That's a big one, though, the world's tallest building. You may have had the same experiences as Matt and I, so can you imagine going to that thing in Dubai? The Iraqis apparently are furious with the Blackwater case being thrown out, and Baghdad basically is vowing to go after the security firm accused in those killings. If you remember, 17 people shot dead at that Baghdad intersection, so they're furious at a U.S. judge's decision to throw out the case. That happened on Friday. A lot of people thought that this was done, and they easily were going to nail Blackwater. It was going to happen. They were going to go down. And Blackwater, of course, was hired by the State Department to protect the diplomats in Iraq, right? So the guards said they were ambushed at the intersection in western Baghdad. But the prosecutors and a lot of the Iraqis said the Blackwater guards let loose an unprovoked attack, I guess the best way to describe it, on civilians using machine guns and grenades. So what happened in Nisour Square, September 16th, 2007? It's the Iraqis say they're getting the short end of the stick, and they vow to do something about it. So what does that mean? What are you going to vow to do since it went through our court system, unless there's an appeal? But even then, the U.S. district judge cited a bunch of government missteps in the investigation, saying the prosecutors built their case on sworn statements that the guards had given with the idea that they would be immune from prosecution. So we'll see what happens there. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam. How cold is it in Montreal?
Right now, well, we just had 7 inches of snow, so.
Oof.
Hey, for us, that's a minor inconvenience. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay, like I was talking to your technician there, there's another world thing coming up on Tuesday night. The final of the World Junior Men's Hockey Championships.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. I think you mentioned that to us last week. So,
yeah. Okay.
So give us the skinny on that.
Okay, first of all, we beat you guys Thursday night, New Year's Eve, in a shootout. You had us up 4-2 going in the third period. We tied it. We won it in a shootout. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then yesterday, Canada got a bye into the semis. How about you put me on hold and I'll continue this later?
Put you on hold. No. You just got to tell. So what's on the line? We got a couple seconds here left. What's on the line?
Okay.
On Tuesday?
It's you guys against our guys for the gold medal.
Woo! All right. We want updates on that next week. Thanks, Sam.
It'll be on the NHL Network if you get it in Dallas.
There you go. Thanks, Sam. It's the U.S. against the Canadians. What do you think is going to happen in that one? All right, you can flip me an email about anything, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?